morning again. This is Yvan Tina on Metal Life and Creative Disturbance. I'm still with Yonat Su. And Yonat, you were talking about this notion of bio-labor. This is a sentence that I have extracted from the synopsis of Futile Labor. You said, we are now in the midst of another revolution where living materials and systems are seen as new kinds of automata that can be engineered, mechanized, standardized, and automated. So this was just to continue on this notion of discretization of living organism, and you was about to talk now about the materials themselves, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, this is the field, probably what you allude to is the field of synthetic biology. Again, that we will take our living material completely, fragment it, abstract it, standardize it, and create supposedly hopeful or positive tools to save society and save the environment.
Yeah,
I am very skeptical about that, and not that I'm against. I think we manipulated life through history. I mean, life manipulation is as long as human history. But I think that we now enter in a new kind of time where we're starting to employ engineering principle on a large scale.
Yeah.
And because the pace in terms of speed, precision, and abilities of manipulation of life is reaching a new height, you know, we really need to be also reflective about what we do. And I guess myself as an artist, I see my role about the reflection rather than, you know, creating those new technological feats. I want to actually use the technology itself to create those kind of symbolic gesture that will make people actually, you know, stop for a moment, reflect, think, and then move on. So, and I think also Symbiotica, our aim is to have more and more artists involved in this field, again, as kind of a counterbalance, a kind of another alternative informed voice to join the laboratories alongside the engineering disciplines that is now basically working in the lab. Yeah.
You just define yourself as an artist, but you're also doing scientific work. So I was wondering if you aim also to contribute to the development of research in your field specifically, and as an artist, how do you deal with this Promethean dimension, I mean, of bio art where we almost play gods?
Yeah, I'm definitely not a scientist, and I don't try to do science. I think most of the scientists today are not doing science. They rather do technology, and that's what the use of technology or applied science.
Okay.
I think that's one of the problems that happen in science now, that there's no enough funding and appreciation of pure science. It's all about applied science.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely, you know, I'm not a scientist. I'm using techniques of science, if you want, or more, biotechnological techniques to create the effects that I want. So the aim is not to find a new scientific breakthrough or technological innovation. This is definitely not my role, not my aspiration. My idea is to create, again, an experience, an aesthetic experience for an audience in order to create some kind of a message, if you want, something that I want to make people aware of. I feel that I do need to use the, you know, life itself as a material and manipulate it in order to make this kind of hopefully uneasy experience of what it means to manipulate life and to engineer life. Now, there are many artists working with living materials. Some, you know, have political or social or ethical concern.
Yeah.
Some you know, treats those technology purely as an aesthetic palette. Some are really excited by the possibilities, you know. Many artists are manipulators, and biology becomes now more easier to use. So, you know, there is a wide spectrum of artists working for different aims. What the actual piece then conveys another thing, you know. Many times I put a piece that people think is all about, you know, the amazement of, you know, the technology. And so you have all those kind of levels of you know, what the artist means. And then how the piece is actually circulated in the media as well, which is beyond the artist. And also then it's the perception of the audience themselves, which I find so extremely, you know, surprising.
Yeah.
So actually, I can predict how the media will you know, package the work. But then what people take out of it is very different. But that's, I think, what I love about art. And that's the ambiguity, the possibility for an art piece to actually convey many conflicting and perspectives. Because otherwise it becomes too didactic, to the point it may become propaganda, and that's definitely not the aim. So I guess the way we operate is the piece is very ambiguous, but then we become a bit more kind, if you want, ideological when we write.
Yeah.
So if people want to know more, they can go and read some of the papers and understand where we're coming from. But, you know.
In terms of actually art history, where do you come from? I know that there are some links between bio art and conceptual art, but do you, is there any artist or, movement in the art history that you are taking your route from?
Yeah, you know, I never actually studied the, art. I've never studied in an art school as such.
Okay.
I studied more, you know, photography and media studies, so semiotics and things like that. Yet, I'm talking from, again, graduate level. But, you know, I was always, of course, passionate about art and loved art. I still love art.
Okay.
I think it comes from different directions. And, you know, again, I started as a photographer, but then once I started to actually, in the beginning when we grew our tissue sculptures, semi-living sculptures, we took photographs of them to show in galleries, because we never thought we can actually take those living, semi-living construct out to the gallery. But once we, you know, you actually work with the material of life and you're able to make this, to actually convey this experience in a gallery, you don't want to move. For me, no way I go back to representation. I want to, life is such a potent material that I would like to work with that. But I think, again, the whole field comes from many areas, such as conceptual art.
Yeah.
I would say also performance art. You know, there's also earth art and all that you can tie as well.
But okay, go ahead.
Yeah, conceptual art, I think it's because you bring those kind of suggestion, those kind of contestable objects.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really objects because those are alive. But it's not just, you know, ideas. Again, it's not just representation, but it's actually living or semi-living material that you put there as a something for the audience to contest.
Mm-hmm.
Something that, you know, is extremely conceptual, but has so many suggestion and so many provocation and create experience that hopefully make people think about that. It's conceptual, but it's actually tangible in many respects. So it takes conceptual art even further in the sense that there is something very tangible there. I don't know where to take it from here, but the difference is that we now we're looking more again at the modern life sciences, so actual technological application for life. And the new use of new technologies and new concepts of what can be done to life.
Yeah, actually talking about that, I think during your panel with Chris Salter and
Devon Ward.
Okay, and Devon Ward, I think you touch upon this topic, which are issues of scale, of scalability, while talking about ecology and health. What are your, the different scales of living, of life? So it can go from bacteria to actual geological apparatuses. So do you deal with other type of living materials than biological ones?
So again, scale is a big thing. I think that's why also we say we conceptual artists in the sense that we do purposely work with a small scale of living tissue that also cannot survive outside its container. Mm-hmm. So, it's conceptual in the sense that it can't skip out of the container and get in, and take over the world. There's no way it can do that. But we do, in many respects, relate to the, we say this is a small scale of what humanity now think and maybe even start to do in a geoengineering scale. I mean, we can look, and we just finished a paper that talk about the idea that eventually we might see all of Earth as this kind of artificial life support mechanism. And this is, the fantasy of every technological fetishist to actually be able to have a technology that will defeat global warming by making Earth a big bioreactor that is completely isolated and you can control every element in it to supposedly optimum stage.
Yeah.
So, this is where conceptual art is coming into it. Again, not so much from the tissue culture and art project, but as an artist in Symbiotica, we are now looking at projects that involves more large scale. We're looking, but this is very in its infancy, so I can't say much, but we're looking at the idea of the time garden. So there is a place in the Pilbara here in north of Western Australia, which is an amazing landscape that is very ancient and actually have some of the earliest forms of life. And also many scientists come and look at this area because if there is some kind of evidence of the earliest, the first form of life, it might be in the Pilbara, and that can actually pose an evidence to see if there was life in Mars. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting area. And of course, there are the political and the social history with the indigenous population. We are looking, and I think that's what's really interesting. So we are looking at few artists actually interpreting the idea of the time garden. So looking at deep time, at scale of time, at scale working with bacteria to work into landscape, working with sound. To actually try and look at all those kinds of scale of life which are mingling and mixing together. How we as humble humans can relate to those different scales. It's so easy. It's easiest for us to, again, relate to scale of life that are in our scale, more or less, in real-time movement, etc. But I think it's extremely touching to actually be able to relate to scale of life that are so vastly different from ours, to actually realize how small and insignificant we are in the scale of evolution. Yeah, we just been here for a short time, and who knows how long we'll be. So, you know, so this is a new project that we're looking at, yeah.
We're going to talk about the performativity of your work in the next episode.
Okay.